when you see certain things and you do certain things, it's going to impact you. We're human, you know, it's like, how does it not? When you see some crazy stuff that people shouldn't see, it's going to impact you. The last thing we want is for any first responder to hold it in and then do something that can't be, you know, reversed. So we've been able to get checks in hands for people that need it, and then also support organizations that are focused on supporting sick and injured firefighters and first responders as well.
We have Luke Schneider from Fire Department Coffee, and I am so excited to have him on. I have a really important question first. Let's just get it out of the way. How much coffee do you drink a day?
Oh, that's a good question. Usually, I should say like a full pot, but I actually drink probably like two to three cups a day.
Oh, just 2 to 3 cups?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good number, you know?
I feel it's not good.
It's not quite a coffeeholic, but it's...
Yeah, I like quality over quantity, I'll say.
Now, like, who drinks the most?
Dave McWilliams, our chief roaster, he's a retired fire captain. He realistically probably drinks 1 to 2 pots of coffee a day.
Which translates to how many cups?
Probably 15 cups, I'm guessing he drinks. Yeah.
I was watching some of your promo videos, and it panned to Dave, and he's like, oh, I drink 20 cups a day, probably. And I was like, oh my God, that's still kicking. How is his heart not given out yet?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's like, I've been doing this for decades now. I was like, well, if it's gotten you through this much, you might as well just keep going.
He said if you cut him, he'd probably bleed brown just because he drinks so much coffee.
So I have something I need to get out of the way also before we continue. I don't drink coffee.
What?
Okay. Should I leave now or can I stay?
Why not?
If I did start drinking coffee, I would be one of those 20 cups a day people. Like, I feel like there's no middle ground for me. There's no, the Luke Schneider of coffees. I'm going to be either I don't drink coffee and stick to water, or I'm drinking 2 pots a day.
That's funny. Well, you should try it. It's, you know, you might be surprised.
I like ice cream.
Who doesn't like ice cream?
So I feel like the coffee ice cream is like my foray into the coffee world.
Yeah, maybe. There we go.
I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Oh, I appreciate the transparency.
I just wanted to be my genuine self. Transparency is really important in our industry.
So that's right.
Why don't you tell the people, because we still have not given you a proper introduction. Luke, tell us about who you are and your foray into the coffee world.
Okay, so for me, I started drinking a lot of coffee when I was in the Navy as a shipboard firefighter. And after I was done with my time in the Navy, I was honorably discharged, got a job on a fire department and became a civilian firefighter. And the same, it was drink a lot of coffee because of the caffeine, working long hours, long shifts. Every fire department almost always has a pot of coffee brewing. And so that was my experience with coffee until I met my wife, who was a barista. I would go in and see her and she would make me coffee. And then eventually we started making coffee together. Then we got married, and then we started going to different roasteries, and we eventually wanted to start roasting coffee together, and we wanted to roast coffee and serve it for our friends and family. And I wanted to do a coffee that spoke to being a firefighter and that gave back. So I did a fire department blend. And out of everything we did, that's what really took off and people loved. So in 2016, I launched Fire Department Coffee with a mission to make great coffee and support our fellow firefighters and first responders. From there, that's where the journey started. And it really kind of taken off fast. That was in 2016. We doubled sales year over year. Wow. And we just bought a building to build our first brick and mortar cafe, which we plan to open up next year. And so we'll start building cafes, expanding into grocery, getting into different channels. And then we also have a media company, and we have a 501c3, the Fire Department Coffee Charitable Foundation, which the focus of that is supporting sick and injured firefighters and first responders.
So that's the end of the interview. Thank you. Luke, that was an amazing.
Thanks.
Just like give me the sound bite in a minute and a half and you just nailed every single point. I am no longer needed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You also just skimmed over the fact that that's how you met your wife, which is pretty incredible. And that you got into this through your wife, through being a firefighter. There's so much there. So we're gonna break it down piece by piece. What was your first memory of having coffee?
So like my first memory was probably as a kid, and it was probably at church where there was like a pot of coffee, or it would either be, maybe it was my dad's office. I can't remember. I remember we used to get into like his sugar cubes because there would be like, I don't know if you ever had that experience as a kid, but when you find the box of sugar
cubes,
yeah, and then you suck on them or whatever, and then you find the coffee and you put a bunch of sugar cubes in there and some creamer. That was probably my first experience of coffee.
What were you in the Navy and when did you join?
From 2004 to 2008, and I was a shipboard firefighter in the Navy.
So what does that mean?
So actually everybody that goes into the Navy is trained as a firefighter. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but it's a thing.
Heard
that
it here first.
Yeah, that's right. So that's a thing, but my rate was damage control. So damage control is responsible for training the ship in firefighting and then also maintaining the fire systems, because it's really important that whatever the thing that you're living on the ship doesn't burn down. So we do maintenance. Yeah, it's pretty important. So that's why I think everybody is trained in it. And
when you're on the ship, who do you call for help?
You are the help. Yeah, that's right. So, and then the time that we started Fire Department Coffee, I was a firefighter. I was a firefighter paramedic full time for the city of Rockford for 12 years and just recently retired early to focus on the business full time. But a lot of our company is either active or retired firefighters, first responders, or military veterans. So we have a lot of active firefighters that work for the company and part of our executive team as well.
When do you remember first wanting to be in the Navy and be a firefighter? Which came first? Did you want to be a firefighter or did you want to be in the Navy?
I wanted to be a firefighter. And then I was like 18 or 19 years old. I was, you know, during high school, I think I went through the stage that a lot of high school teenagers go through where it's kind of like this rebellious stage. And so I got into boxing and that helped me like kind of stay out of trouble, keep my, you know, nose clean kind of thing. And then so I wanted to just jumpstart and like get away from everything that, you know, was around me and wanted to do something positive. So I joined the Navy to like jumpstart my career as a firefighter, because you, in most full-time departments, you can't be a firefighter until you're 21. So that gave me some experience, got some military
How
points.
Old were you when you joined the Navy?
I believe I was 19.
Wow. That is very young. What was the commitment? How long did you have to be in the Navy?
4 years.
At that time? 4 years? Okay, so it's basically like making the decision to go to college. It's a 4 year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is that something that the people around you at the time were surprised about, that you were going to join the Navy?
I think my friends, you know, a lot of my friends I had already kind of distanced myself from during that time, just because they were all going to parties and doing stuff like that, and I was wanting to stay away from that. They might have been surprised, probably not. My parents weren't surprised because they knew me. They just knew when I made a decision, like it was fast, and that was my decision, and I just stuck with it. And that's kind of story of my life is I'm going to start a coffee company and then just do it and then just keep going.
The Navy was your opportunity at 19 to kind of turn your life around in a way and put yourself on a better path.
Right.
That takes so much like intuitiveness and self-awareness at the age of 19. I'm just imagining other 19-year-olds I went to college with and cannot imagine them making that kind of choice.
And that kind of just goes back to like making up your mind and like setting your goals and just sticking with it. Because even when I was in the Navy, there was a lot of people that tried to talk me into staying in the Navy. But when I joined the Navy, the plan was to be a firefighter. So I wanted to be a shipboard firefighter so I can get experience and then get out and then become a civilian firefighter. But there was some people in the Navy that said, hey, you know, it's very difficult to get on a fire department. And, you know, firefighters don't fight a lot of fire. They don't actually do a lot of firefighting. And that was far from the truth, because when I got, it all depends, like everybody's experience is different. So nobody can tell you, like, especially if they haven't done it, like they don't really know what they're talking about, because it all depends on where you are. And, and
you're like day one. Nope. There were definitely fires.
Like two fires the first day. Yeah. And then we were fighting fires. Like we had in Rockford, we have fires like every 28 hours. There's a structure fire in the city somewhere.
Oh my God. What were those lessons that you carried over from the Navy, from being a firefighter, into eventually when you'd start your own business?
I love that question because that's, yes. Yeah, I love that question because it really is like very connected, and the military too, like the fire service is a paramilitary organization. So a lot of the structure is very similar to the military in a lot of ways, like chain of command, stuff like that. So like it was a natural transition. And then for the company, we've incorporated a lot of that like culture from the military and the fire service into our company. So things like being family oriented, working as a team. This really applies to like the military and the fire services. And you said this earlier, like, who do you call, you know, when there's a fire on the ship? Well, that's the thing with the military and the fire services. You don't really usually have anybody else to call. Like you are the response. So you either win together or you lose together. And it's the same in my mentality of how we've built our team in this company, is that we win together and we lose together. And that's the mentality and why I love that question, because I think it is all very tied together.
In your company, so like, yes, sir, no, sir.
Well, we're a small team, so there's growing pains and we have to like build out, you know, procedures.
And everyone has uniforms. If there's one stitch out of place, they actually have to go home.
That part.
You decided to axe that one.
Yeah, that part got axed. Like, actually, I show up to work in Crocs a lot of times, and I'll wear shorts. I'll be coming from the gym or something, and I'll come into work, and then I'll have shorts on. And if I have like an important meeting, a lot of times I have like a sports jacket in, or like a coat in here that I'll just throw on for meetings. With virtual meetings nowadays, it doesn't matter anyways. But but we have, like, if you're operating a forklift or a pallet jack, or, you know, if you're in the warehouse.
You have to throw in that note for OSHA. We get it.
Yeah, you have to wear steel-toe boots and stuff like that.
You meeting your wife changed your life, probably in more ways than one. You met.
Definitely,
your person, which is congratulations. That's great.
Thank you.
But also, that introduced you more deeply into the coffee world. So can you walk us through that?
Yeah. So she challenges me in a lot of ways. So,
we women do.
Yeah, definitely. Because like, I definitely wouldn't have started a coffee company if it wasn't for her. You know, there's so many ways that she makes me better, and which helps, you know, I think me be better for other people too, and the team. And a lot of times I'll run things through her to like give her like what I'm thinking, and she'll be the first one to tell me if she thinks it's, you know, bad, or if I'm doing something that she doesn't agree with, she'll be the first one to tell me. And there's been a few times where it's like, okay, she's got a really good point there. And so yeah, she helps me in a lot of ways and inspires me, and also helps me to be a better husband and father and, you know, business owner.
And she was a barista when you met her?
She was, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So she was seeing what you were drinking and she was like, the Dunkin' Donuts coffee, hon, we're going to have to level it up a bit.
Yeah. So when we first got married, she sent me to the grocery store to get coffee and I come back with like the cheapest coffee that I can buy. That's, you know, it's basically
mud water.
Yeah. But I come back with the cheaps. I'm like, okay, I've had that before. I know that's strong. I'm going to buy that coffee. And she comes back and she's like, what did you buy? And I was like, coffee. And she's like, no, we're not drinking that. You're going to return that.
From buying the cheapest coffee beans at the grocery store to building your own coffee business. How did that happen?
So once she gives me the green light on something, I don't know if she like really knows what she's getting into, because it was like, okay, I could buy a coffee roaster. So it started out with, oh, hey, let's roast some coffee and we can learn how to roast coffee and we can, you know, serve it at farmers markets and sell it to friends and family. Uh-huh. And yeah, so that was the plan. And she was going to bake pies because she's a really good baker and we were going to sell them at farmers markets. And then I find a...
I love this life.
Yeah. So like, and then, but like my mentality is like, I'm like, when I do something, I'm like all in and I can't stop. Like I don't know. She thinks I'm a freak or something, but I'll like, I'll do something. And then, you know, next thing you know, I'm racking up debt. I'm racking up our credit cards. I've maxed out all of our credit cards. I'm buying supplies and equipment. And this is like the story of like how you hear with a lot of, you know, founders, how they start out. But like, I was like, we got a $20,000 budget. We can get this. We can get this strip mall space. We can get this coffee roaster. And that's all we really need, you know. And it's like, and the next thing you know, we're buying a bigger grinder. We're buying a bagging machine. And we've
something
got all
breaks.
This. Yeah.
Everything breaks.
Yeah. And so then we need a website and all this stuff. And next thing you know, we've got a bunch of debt. But it all paid off in the end. So we're now.
I love that she was like, we're going to go to farmers markets and I'm going to bake pies. And you were like, we're going to build a very large business. And we're investing all of our money into it. Okay, great. Let's go.
That's right.
But she was in support and she was like, all right, let's do it.
You know, yeah. Like, in the beginning, she was very much in support, you know, and then.
And then reality kicks in and you're like, what did you get us into?
Kicks in.
This better work out.
The vision I had at that point, it was like, I see a brand around, I want to create a brand around this. And she's like, I'm just going to let you do your thing, because it really did develop more into like, this is just farmers markets and friends and family type of a thing. It kind of quickly escalated. And then at that point, she was like, all right, you do your thing and I'll trust you. So that's where I think it goes both ways too. Like she definitely trusts me. She let me, you know, she let me do what I wanted.
Chase
with
your dreams.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there ups and downs in the beginning, or did you know exactly like, these are the blends that we want to make, these are the people that we want to hire, this is our strategy? Did you know anything also about
the
business world? So
no, I didn't know anything. I think the best strength that I had was I'm a hard worker. And so like when times got tough, you know, I just did what needed to get done. And I think that really set the tone for the team. One of the team members told me this and said, like, if you were lazy, like, I'd probably be lazy too. You know? So I think that really is a big thing. Like if you're leading a company, like you need to set the example. And if you're not working hard, the team's not going to work hard. So, but there's been a lot of ups and downs, some interesting stories, challenges, times when we thought, you know, this could be the end, and it's, you know, all worked out and has made us stronger in the end.
What did your parents do?
My dad is a engineer.
Okay.
And my mom was a teacher. You know, something would break and I would call him and he'd help me troubleshoot it. He's actually one of our directors too. So he's on our board of directors. So.
That's awesome. Are they proud of you?
Yeah, they're very proud.
Is there any other answer you're allowed to say?
I don't know. I'd be honest if they weren't, but they are. But they actually helped us. They lent us some money like early on too, when we racked up all this debt, and then we got to a point where it was like, okay, we need $20,000 more for this, this, and this, and they lent us money, you know, and we paid them back and all that. But you know, hopefully one of these days too, I'll be able to return that, you know, that favor. Yeah.
Yeah. I love how honest you are about the struggle in the beginning for an entrepreneur. I think people get accustomed to just seeing the pretty final packaged product, and they don't understand how much of a grind and a hustle it is, and the breakdowns and the long nights and stress and wondering if it's going to work out or not. So I love how honest you are about that, not pretending like it was smooth sailing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's okay to share that, you know, like some, I think you're right. Like some people just don't share the challenges they face. But I feel like to me, like when you face challenges and you're able to like overcome them, it's more of a victory to share than if it was just like everything was smooth sailing. It's been such a success and all this. But there's, yeah, nothing is easy. And this is, you know how it is, being an entrepreneur and starting something from the ground up, it takes a lot of work. It's a lot of sacrifice in it. You know, it's a sacrifice not only for you, but your family, those around you.
Especially as you get employees.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other level of responsibility you have. And it's like, oh, it doesn't just matter to me now if this works out. You have your employees and their families on the line.
Yep. You kind of get into like where you're in the people business too, because for me, it's not just about profit. Like it's about the impact and the impact on the team, the community. And then what communities are you connected to? Because for us, like we're connected to the coffee community, the first responder community, the veteran community. So we want to be having impacts in those communities as well.
Yeah. Walk us through those impacts that you have and your 501c3.
Yeah. So we've been able to support multiple individuals. A lot of times they've either had like traumatic injuries from on the job. So whether it be, you know, spinal injuries or it could be like health or mental health. Being a firefighter, you're exposed to a lot of carcinogens. So there's a high risk of getting cancer, a heart attack because of the stress from, you know, being in a fire, high stress environments with wearing a lot of gear, being in, you know, high temperature. So cardiac arrest is the number one killer of firefighters.
Wow, and, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then cancer is another big one. And then you have burn victims, and then you have, you know, and then there's all the wounds that a lot of first responders carry that you don't see. And so Jason Patton, our vice president, also part owner in the company, he's a huge advocate for mental health. And so he does a lot of speaking in mental health, and it's been a stigma in the past, and we're trying to, you know, let make sure people talk about it, because if you don't talk about it, then, you know, you're holding it in and it affects you. So, I mean, even my own personal experience from seeing things and doing things and being a part of it, I wouldn't consider like my experience to have like post-traumatic stress disorder or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But when you see certain things and you do certain things, it's going to impact you. We're human, you know, it's like, how does it not? When you see some crazy stuff that people shouldn't see, it's going to impact you. Yeah. The last thing we want is for any first responder to hold it in and then do something that can't be, you know, reversed. So we've been able to get checks in hands for people that need it, and then also support organizations that are focused on supporting sick and injured firefighters and first responders as well.
You're taking an issue that is really difficult to address, and you're making it a core mission of yours and so deeply tied to you and your family and your community. Just some of the facts you've just shared, I had no idea about the challenges that firefighters and first responders make. My sister was an EMT. She did EMT training in Dallas during the pandemic. So we figured like not much was going to go on. And it's just the first week in her rotation, there was a kid who died in her car, who died in her ambulance. And that was just, you know, week one of her career.
Yeah.
There are just some people who are so hardened by all of the things that they had seen. And there wasn't much of a resource to discuss. Like when there's a kid who dies in your ambulance, she didn't have like an on-site therapist to go talk to or, you know, those kinds of resources, especially people who have been in that job for decades. I love that now there's so much more of a conversation around talking about that. Luckily, she had our family to talk to right after work, but not everybody has that.
You know, you're absolutely right. Some people feel like they don't have anybody to talk to. And then that's where I think a lot of times more problems can come from. And so, yeah, it's important that we talk about it and address those things. And they should have somebody that they can share that with and feel comfortable that they're not going to be judged or looked at as weak, you know, because there is environments out there that are not healthy, you know, and I feel there's a lot of people like Jason Patton in the fire service who are talking about it and that are making improvements because like we're human, you know, we're human people and we have feelings and emotions, and to try to just block it out, there's a thing to be resilient, you know, and resiliency is a big topic too. And I think that's also very important. The stigma is changing
Just the word hero. People have an idea of a hero and who a hero is. And first responders, frontliners, those people are absolutely heroes. But after a while of using that verbiage, you kind of separate heroes from humans. And it's kind of hard to imagine them after a long day being really distraught after facing those things that a lot of us aren't strong enough to face. You know, it's okay to imagine them needing to talk to someone, needing to call their mom, needing to talk to a therapist or a loved one, and to offer that support and remember that heroes are brave and amazing, and we would be in a very different place without them, but also they're still human, and giving them that grace and space to be able to heal.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was well said. Absolutely.
Thank you. You can hire me. let's shift gears to something happy, because what I love the most about you guys, your guys' presence in social media and all of the things that you do, as heavy as we just got, your presence to the world is the opposite. I laugh so hard. They are so funny and so lighthearted. You guys just mess around with each other and pull pranks on each other and do these little skits. Was that a conscious decision?
Jason and like me and Jason have a really good chemistry. Like it was like we couldn't have planned it
wanted to. Yep.
Thanks. Yeah, we couldn't have planned it if we wanted to. Like he's very high energy. He loves, you know, he's very funny. He's just a really good guy. And he's really active on social media and does a lot of the content. And we have a team of content creators that we work with. Most of them are full-time employees with the company. And so we've just kind of incorporated firefighters that are a part of the company to be in the content. And we like to make people laugh and have fun with it. You know, we take our coffee seriously, but we try not to take ourselves too seriously. Yeah.
I loved reading the comments on all of your pages. People, firefighters, first responders, they say, I come to your site. after a hard day and just laugh. So thank you for creating a community where you understand how difficult it is, but you create such like a source of light and comfort for people.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah, that means a lot. And we love seeing those comments, and it really motivates us to like want to keep doing it and creating more content, and just feels good to hear that. So thank you.
So what do you have coming up that you are excited about? Give us the inside scoop.
Well, okay. So we have some really big things coming up, actually. Ready to Drink. We're coming out with Ready to Drink cans. Look for us in your grocery stores. We'll be in convenience stores. We're planning on being 40% of all retailers within the next 2 years. So look for fire department coffee, look for the Ready to Drink. But what I'm really most excited about with the Ready to Drink is in about 2 months, we're launching the first ever non-alcoholic Irish coffee using our proprietary spirit infused coffee that's infused with real whiskey. The alcohol roast off, but it uses that proprietary coffee to make an Irish coffee that's non-alcoholic, that has a taste of whiskey but without the alcohol, and it is like nothing that you've ever tried before, and it's really incredible. And I think it's going to make a lot of buzz in the
maybe
the food
that'll
and
be
beverage.
My first cup of coffee.
There you go. Yeah, it's good. And if you want to add, if you like whiskey, if you want to add a little bit of whiskey to it, that's okay too. We're not judging. Soon, probably it might even be this year, we're going to start bringing in some top level executives to like help us grow. Because it's just, we've built the infrastructure, we've built the capacity, we've invested into the operations and worked on efficiencies, and we've done all that investment, and now it's like investing in people and bringing in the right people to continue to grow and keep the momentum we've got right now.
I'm so excited for you guys. That's so fun. It usually doesn't happen that quickly. So just congratulations to you guys.
Thank you.
Been working on it for a while and have put a lot. You deserve this moment. I'm so happy that I got to talk to you. We're going to end with a toast.
Oh, yeah. Do I need a glass?
You have your coffee? Oh, my God. I love that. I was just realizing that. Luke, I have had such a pleasure learning about you and your history and everything that you are doing to support your firefighter and EMT community and just every coffee lover community. You're going to convert me. If anyone's able to, you guys will be able to
awesome.
Do so. So I always end interviews by allowing my amazing guests to give their parting words on how you think that people can sow a little bit more goodness in their lives and communities.
Okay, so away, Lexi, thank you for having me here today and for letting me share the story about Fire Department Coffee. Awesome. And I would say, be authentic, be yourself. Don't try to be something that other people want you to be. Be who you are, and be true to that, and just be authentic, and good things will continue to come. So thank you, and cheers.
Cheers. Woo!
I forgot to drink. There we go.
I forgot to drink.
It's empty.